if I had ever been it before. On another time around the wheel, I would probably know just how to deal with all of you. And I welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Alan Lichtman, who's a professor of history at American University, who studies both the American right and the presidency. His books include White Protestant Nation, The Rise of the American Conservative Movement, and The Keys to the White House, a surefire way to predicting the next president. His prediction system has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984. Welcome to Background Briefing, Alan Lichtman.
Thank you, Ian.
And what's your prediction? I know we've spoken about this before for 2012. Given what appears to be haunting the Republican Party is a specter of 1964, when the radicals took over the party and made Barry Goldwater their nominee, and they got trounced by LBJ, and they don't want this to happen again with. The wild card Gingrich said they want to stay with the safe bet Romney.
Right. Think of it, the Republican Party, like this mom and dad, you know, whose daughter is dating, on the one hand, this nice, safe, boring family guy, and on the other hand, this wild and woolly philanderer, you know, and they really don't want particularly either one of them. So, you know, do they go with their fears or not? And right now they seem to be going with their fears. Better the safe, boring guy who might not give us much of a life, but at least won't break our hearts.
And do you think their prediction is correct, that if Gingrich gets the nomination, and it's looking less likely now, he's, I think, an average 12 points behind in all the polls in Florida. But he says, and he just said on CBS today, that he's absolutely determined to take it all the way. I frankly think he's not bluffing.
Oh, I think Gingrich will take it all the way. What in the world does the guy have to lose? You know, what is he, 68 years old? This is his last realistic shot. He hates Mitt Romney. He thinks Mitt Romney has lied about him, been unfair to him. But, you know, the truth is, you don't have to lie about Gingrich. There's enough there. You know, all you have to do is tell the truth. You know, as Adlai Stevenson once said, if the Republicans will stop lying about me, I'll stop telling the truth about them. But Gingrich has nothing to lose. Neither does Ron Paul. So why not take it all the way? A win in Florida does not guarantee Romney anything. He's still pretty much dead even with Gingrich in the national polls. And neither one of them can crack 30%.
But Alan Lichtman, to the question, though, of whether the calculus that a Tea Party radical right-wing
will get trounced
in the general. I mean, the mood of the country is kind of surly.
I think they will get trounced. I think, you know, generally, no matter who the nominee is, my prediction system that you talked about predicts an Obama win. But I do think the margin is likely to be greater with a candidate of the extreme right who carries all the baggage that Newt Gingrich does. But, you know, if you leave aside the personalities, you know, Romney comes off as more moderate, Gingrich as, you know, more combative and a wild man. In many ways, Romney has pitched himself to the right of Newt Gingrich in this campaign. For example, on the immigration issue, you know, you'd have to fall into the ocean now to be to the right of Mitt Romney. He's talking about crazy things like voluntary deportation.
Self-deportation, right?
Yes.
Which, by the way, you know, is what's happening in Alabama. And it's really quite nasty. The logic behind it is to make life so miserable for these people that they have to leave the country.
It's the way the South used, you know, back in the bad old days, used to deal with African Americans. You know, make life as miserable as possible for them.
So, again, I'm speaking with Alan Lichtman, professor of history at American University, who studies both the American right and the presidency. There is the power of the establishment is. In spite of this Tea Party revolution, it looks like, you know, the guys in the back room, in the smoke-filled room, are asserting themselves. And not the least of which, of course, is the enormous amount of money that Romney's able to spend on television in a very important key state that has lots of big television markets. And I'm just wondering how Gingrich is going to make it, because the big factor in this election, I think, surely is the Citizens United decision, right? Unlimited money. And
unlimited money, you know, it's just poisoning and polluting our politics. But leave that aside for a moment. I think you may be overstating the power of the quote-unquote Republican establishment. You know, they haven't really been able to sell Romney. There's still a tremendous amount of grassroots resistance to this guy. And as we saw, you know, the more radical fringe of the Republican Party was perfectly capable of bouncing more moderate candidates and establishment candidates in places like Utah, Nevada, and Delaware. And the truth is, if they had a better vehicle than Newt Gingrich, if they had a right-wing candidate, say a Mike Huckabee, who didn't have all the baggage of Newt Gingrich and all the lack of the discipline and all the, you know, both feet in the mouth disease, they'd be able to beat Romney.
And colonies on the moon. And
yeah, he's so flawed. And yet he's giving Romney a run for his money. Imagine a more cleaned up right winger. You know, I think someone like Huckabee would have won this campaign.
So are you suggesting, Alan Lichtman, that even if Romney gets the nomination and manages to, and Gingrich sort of runs out of money and runs out of steam, I believe the rules are written in such a way that the delegates are not so much apportioned on a winner-take-all basis. And is it possible that Gingrich could stay in this race and then do another battle at the convention and sort of refight the fight with all the Tea Party people showing up, yelling to the rafters?
Sure. We've seen that movie before. You know, Hubert Humphrey took George McGovern to the convention in 1972 with a big battle over the rules in the winner-take-all California primary. George McGovern held on, but it was a terrible convention for the Democrats. Bitter, bruising, nasty convention. You know, George McGovern wound up speaking in the wee hours of the morning. We saw Ronald Reagan in 1976 take the battle right to the convention. Now, he was a lot smoother and less nasty than Hubert Humphrey, but nonetheless, no one knew whether it was going to be Reagan or the sitting president, Gerald Ford, until the convention of 76. So we've seen this movie before, and absolutely it could play out this time, although given that it's kind of a two-person race, it's going to be a little hard to stalemate it.
Well, but as you pointed out, though, just fighting this battle, the establishment candidate has had to adopt a lot of the Tea Party platforms and positions, right?
Absolutely. It's remarkable. You know, we all knew Romney had moved to the right. But, you know, when you position yourself to the right of Newt Gingrich, you know, you're falling off the edge of the political universe. And you know all of this stuff is going to come back to haunt him in the general election.
So when Gingrich's national political director, Martin Baker, says the race is just getting started and they have a long way to go, I guess they do. Both of them do. They need 1,114 delegates, and there are 50 delegates at stake in Florida. And assuming Romney gets them all, that's still a long way to go, right?
Yeah, less than 5% of the delegates overall will be selected after Florida. It's just a tiny handful. There's a long way to go. And as I said, Gingrich has nothing to lose by taking it all the way. And Ian, we have seen this Republican nomination struggle turn on a dime. This is the most unstable political situation in recent memory. We've seen candidates, you know, rise and fall faster than the latest starlet in Hollywood. And we have not yet seen the last twists and turns of this race.
Well, that in itself has got to give the party power brokers heartburn, right?
Oh, yeah. The party power brokers, you know, such as they are, you know, absolutely twisting and turning in the wind, trying to make sense of this and trying to stabilize it. The last thing they want is to waste all of their money on a nomination struggle. Of course, they have a lot.
Right. And their favorite candidate has a lot as well, Romney. Again, I'm speaking with Alan Lichtman, professor of history at American University. His books include White Protestant Nation, The Rise of the American Conservative Movement, and The Keys to the White House, A Surefire Way to Predicting the Next President. And his prediction system has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984. You have to admit, Alan, that Barack Obama is one of the luckiest son of a guns on the planet, isn't he? I mean, think about it. He ran in for the U.S. Senate in Illinois against a complete nutcase, Alan Keyes.
Right.
And then he ran in the 2008 presidential elections against this doddering kind of fool. the economy
well,
crashed on his head.
Some pretty stiff competition in the primaries with Hillary Clinton.
He certainly did. I shouldn't have mentioned that. But it looks like this time around, if this fratricide continues, it's going to be pretty easy for him.
That's right. You know, the Republicans can fight. That's fine. You know, Obama won after a huge battle with Hillary Clinton, but the fight can come to the point where the party cannot get together after the battle is over, and that's the key thing. If the party can get together and forget about all this, it may not hurt that much, but it doesn't look that way to me right now.
Because what they have to overcome, three things. One, that Romney doesn't feel authentic, and that they just don't like him, and he hasn't been able to sell himself. Two, that he's a moderate compared to their, you know, the Tea Party's far right views.
He's the opposite. He's the lamb in wolf's clothing.
Right, and then the third one, he's a Mormon, right, which doesn't play well with the evangelicals.
No. That's three strikes.
Uh-huh. So I guess then the money's going to have to talk, right?
Money always talks, but money does not decide general elections, you know. Both sides will have plenty of money. Obama will probably have more money than the Republicans. So there's no way anyone's going to buy this election.
Yeah, but Gingrich doesn't have the money. He's only got Sheldon Adelson's money. And presumably now that Sheldon Adelson and his wife's donations to Gingrich have gotten so much press, I imagine Adelson's probably not going to pony up another, you know, $10 million or whatever.
I don't think so. No, Gingrich lacks the money. He lacks the organization. He lacks the discipline, and he lacks a clean enough history. And given all that, it is a statement about how much they don't want Romney that he's still, you know, he's got four strikes against him, and he's still giving Romney one dickens of a race.
So, as an historian, Alan Lichtman, where's the comparison? We talked about 1964. Is that a valid comparison that the radicals came in? I can't remember who the Mitt Romney equivalent was.
Oh, it was a perfect Mitt Romney clone, Nelson Rockefeller.
Oh, there you have it.
Moderate Northeastern governor. In fact, they used to call the moderate Republicans the Rockefeller Republicans. And that was a battle for the soul of the Republican Party, which was a reprise of a battle they had 12 years earlier between the conservative Robert Taft and the moderate Dwight Eisenhower. That one was won by the moderate.
So the rich Rockefeller, who definitely does sound like a Romney clone, he couldn't buy his way into the presidency, or at least the nomination.
Very much like Romney, a little more accomplished, actually.
Right.
But like Romney, you know, there weren't people ready to walk through walls for Nelson Rockefeller. There were a lot of folks who think he was okay and decent guy and, you know, a good moderate. But there were plenty of people willing to walk through walls for Barry Goldwater. And there are people willing to walk through walls for whatever right-wing candidate might crop up, including some for Gingrich. But nobody is going to walk through a wall except maybe some of the very rich for Mitt Romney. He's never going to inspire that kind of enthusiasm, and that's a problem.
And was there any of this sort of ironic populism that Gingrich has seized on, that this is a guy that doesn't pay his taxes and has millions of money that he's made from idle investments, while you hardworking blue-collar Americans have had to actually work for a wage and pay more taxes?
Not as much as there is today. There wasn't, you know, that kind of personal attack, not so much in 1964. There was plenty of it, but not at the same level as we've seen this time. I mean, the name calling and the pettiness we've seen is, you know, reached almost gutter levels.
So then, just to finish up on your surefire predictions here, Alan Lichtman, given that the system that you've created, the keys to the White House, a surefire way to predicting the next president, has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984. What about the possibility, though, of all that we've discussed here so far being moot, in as much as there are always these wild cards in foreign policy and that things are quite unstable in the Gulf between the West and Iran? One doesn't know how much pushing that situation to the wall with these sanctions could result in some irrational behavior. And then of course the European Union is meeting right now in Brussels, and they still haven't got their hands around the euro crisis.
Ian, the world is a dangerous, unstable place, but it's always been a dangerous, unstable place. People always think, oh, some October surprise is going to turn this presidential election. Well, it hasn't happened since 1864, when the victories of Sheridan and Sherman turned around the Union fortunes and elected Abraham Lincoln. For 150 years, elections have been predictable long before the fall campaign even begins. Things can happen, but the truth is our presidential politics are much more stable than that, and the October surprise is simply a gleam in the eye of the media.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Alan Lichtman.
Anytime, Ian. Take care.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Alan Lichtman, who's a professor of history at American University, who studies both the American right and the presidency. His books include White Protestant Nation, The Rise of the American Conservative Movement, and The Keys to the White House, A Surefire Way to Predicting the Next President. His prediction system has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking to Saul Alinsky's protege about the real Saul Alinsky, not the Saul Alinsky radical that Newt Gingrich accuses President Obama of being.